Welcome to the Growing Vegetables Down Under podcast. I'm your host, Diana. I want to show you how it's possible to have your very own vegetable garden at home, even if you are working and a busy mum like I am. Join me as I show you how you can have a simple, satisfying, and sustainable vegetable garden. But before we get started, please hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. And if you're listening on Apple and love what you hear, I would really, really appreciate it if you left me a 5-star review and comment. So let's dive into today's topic. Hello, gardeners, and welcome back. Today, we're going to be talking about filling your new garden beds. It is so important that you fill your garden beds with the best soil that you can possibly concoct, because soil is nature's recycling system. It purifies water, it recycles organic matter, and most importantly, for making a vegetable garden, it is the food source for the plants that you are going to be growing. And those plants are going to be, of course, absorbing carbon through their leaves, kind of in the form of carbon dioxide, and they are then going to be turning it into oxygen, which again is an important part of the soil's abilities. So, soil is absolutely essential for life. It's essential for the life of your plant, but it's also essential for the life of the planet, because so much comes back to soil health. And in fact, there is even a World Soil Day in December each year. Perhaps I will have to do a special podcast in celebration of that, because I am a really big advocate for having awesome soil, especially in your vegetable garden. But today I'm going to start just by talking about what soil is made up of, and then go on to talking about how you're going to fill your garden bed, because I think that it will be a lot easier to understand why we're putting certain things into the soil for your veggie patch if you actually understand how the soil is made up. So it's made up of four main parts, which is firstly the minerals, which is going to be your nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, which are the three key minerals in your vegetable garden. Now, I'm going to be doing an episode on the basics of fertilizing, where I'm going to go into nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium and explain what they are and why they're important. But for the moment, I'll just let you know that they are the three key minerals and essential for your soil. The second component of your soil is going to be organic matter, which is things like compost, manure, leaves, bark, twigs, anything that is sort of an organic matter that is going to break down. And that's even going to include dead plants from the previous season. The next two things that make up your soil is air and water. So those are the four: minerals, organic matter, air, and water. And for healthy, fertile soil, you need all four. And when you have these four present, you are then going to create an ecosystem in your soil, because living organisms are going to move in. And these living organisms are absolutely key. This is like microbes and fungi that are living in the soil. It's actually estimated that, I love statistics, as you'll discover. It's actually estimated that about 25% of the Earth's living organisms actually live in the soil. So of all the animals and people and plants and so forth that we have on planet Earth, 25% actually live in the soil, which is fascinating for us because, of course, we can't see them, but they are there and they are so, so important. They are the little critters who are breaking down what you've actually put into your soil. So they're continuing to break down the soil, the compost. They're continuing to break down decaying plants. If you scatter eggshells into your garden bed, they are the organisms who are going to turn those eggshells into a food source that a plant can actually absorb through its roots. Living organisms in your soil are also important for purifying water, and they're also key in the process of carbon sequestration, which is what we talked about before, the process of a plant absorbing carbon dioxide and turning it into oxygen, which is one of the absolute basic essentials of life on planet Earth. They are the key component for the fertility of your soil. So keeping them alive is important. And it's one of the reasons why I always harp on about mulching your soil. You simply must mulch your soil. I don't care whether you do it with Lucerne, whether you do it with pea straw, whether you do it with hay. I don't care if you do it with the clean out from your chicken coop, or if you use natural leaf litter. It's autumn at the moment, so it's a great time to be collecting that. I don't care what you use to mulch your veggie patch, but you must mulch your veggie patch, because one of the things that is doing, apart from retaining moisture and preventing evaporation, is it's keeping your living organisms alive. If you have an established garden bed, those garden beds should also be mulched, but another great way of protecting your living organisms is actually using ground cover plants. Now, obviously, that's not really appropriate in a vegetable garden, but in your normal general gardens, ground covers and mulching is also going to be essential there for keeping your living organisms happy and alive. So now that kind of gives you an idea of what is actually in soil. And it's not just brown dirt, but it has actually got these four components and the living organisms. Now we need to think about, how do you keep your soil healthy? And to do that, it needs to be aerated. It needs to be able to absorb and retain water. It needs organic matter for living organisms to feed on. And when you combine all of these things together, you'll be protecting your soils, your veggie patch dirts, biodiversity, which means you are protecting the lives of the little living organisms who are living in there. That is why I keep coming back telling you that these living organisms are the key to happy soil. In summary, you need fantastic soil so that your plants can actually grow. But one thing you might not have thought about is that your soil needs to contain all the essential vitamins, nutrients, and minerals that you ultimately want to end up eating. Because if those vitamins, minerals, and so forth are not in the soil, then your plants, your vegetables cannot absorb them. And so you ultimately cannot consume them. Let's go on to how to actually fill your garden bed with soil. If you are doing a large project, the most cost-effective way would be to actually get veggie garden mix from your local landscaping company. They do deliver for a fee, or you can rock up with your trailer and you buy it by the cubic meter. And this is soil that is, a lot of it is compost, and it's often very good quality. I'm a big fan of it because it hasn't traveled the miles like potting mix at a nursery has. It is a more sustainable option. It also ends up cheaper if you're doing anything more than a single garden bed. It's definitely worth looking into, but if you don't have a trailer, the delivery costs can often outweigh the benefits of it. Just look into it and see if it's a cost-effective option for you. When you do this, I recommend getting the best quality soil that they have available. Some places have specific veggie soils. Others will have various grades of garden soil. Have a chat to them and see if the highest grade of garden soil is actually going to be appropriate for your veggie patch. And if so, I would recommend going with that. The second option, of course, is potting mix bags. And you can buy these from any local nursery or Bunnings. Now, there are, of course, a whole scale of potting mixes. the potting mix, when you do purchase it, please try to make sure it does not have peat moss in it. Peat moss is amazing at retaining water, and it is a great way of keeping pots and garden beds moist. However, once peat moss dries out, it is incredibly difficult to rehydrate it. And if you do not rehydrate it, it actually then repels water. So water will start flowing through your garden bed and not be absorbed. For me, even though it is possible to rehydrate peat moss, I do not think it's worthwhile because it ends up being more effort than it's worth. Because if you are a busy person like I am, if you have a family, if you have other things in your life besides your vegetable garden, there is going to be a time when it dries out, when it is neglected, when you go away on holiday, when life just happens. And so I just do not think it's worth the effort. There is a better alternative to retaining moisture in your soil, and we're going to come to that. So please avoid peat moss. As a side note, I did mention it is possible to rehydrate peat moss. This can be done through using a wetting agent. A wetting agent is basically detergent. So in order to rehydrate peat moss, you basically have to add detergent to it so that the detergent can sort of bind the peat moss and the water together. I have no interest in putting detergent or dish soap into my garden. And so, like I said, please just avoid peat moss. I think it's more effort than it's worth. If you have got your veggie garden mix, then we're going to be adding 4 parts veggie garden mix to your garden bed. Now, at this point, you're probably either going to have to get a wheelbarrow, or if you're doing it on a larger scale, you're going to have to kind of do a lasagna. Now, the recipe that I am going through now is on my website, and the website is in the description for this podcast episode. But I am going to talk through the recipe because I'm mostly focusing on the components, not the quantities. But if you've got your veggie mix, then you will have 4 parts veggie mix. And if you've got potting mix, we're going to be using 3 parts potting mix and 1 part compost. And that's because the veggie soil from your landscaper is going to have a higher compost component that you're not going to need to add it. Now, when I'm talking about compost, this can be store-bought compost, it can be vermicastings, or it can be DIY compost. Vermicastings is the matter that is left in a worm farm after the worms have broken down the food that you've put in and moved on to new food sources. It kind of leaves you with a really nice, moist, rich dirt, and that's called vermicastings. You can buy vermicastings from people who have worm farms, and I'd certainly look into that if you don't have your own, because it's great to have a source of vermicastings and worm tea on hand. The DIY compost, I'm talking about people who might have tumble bins or might have a compost heap. Either way, whatever you're going to be adding as your compost component, make sure it's well broken down. And the reason for that is because we want the veggies that you're going to plant into your garden, probably at the end of the day when you've put all the soil in, we want them to have direct access to the food that is in the compost. So that's why you're constantly well rotted, because you want them to be able to get to that nutrient straight away. If your compost heap hasn't quite broken down fully, then go and buy a bag of store-bought compost on this occasion, or ask a friend who is also a veggie gardener if you can borrow some of theirs. So now you've got soil and compost, and the next thing you're going to be adding is sheep manure. Now, sheep manure is a great general purpose manure. It has more nutrients in it than cows. I like to use a good general purpose manure like sheep because I'm going to add to the soil what my vegetables need based on what I'm planting that season. Horse and chicken manures can actually be higher in nutrients, But unfortunately, when we're talking about store-purchased horse and chicken manure, that's often because they are given supplements when they're growing, and so their manure contains some of the nutrients that were in those supplements. So they're not always naturally derived. But if you have access to horse manure, use that. If you have a chicken coop, then add that in. Again, just remember it must be well rotted. We are going to be adding one part sheep manure to our mix. And from now on, the recipe is the same whether or not you bought landscaping, veggie, soil, or whether you're using potting mix. So add one part sheep manure. If you're going this directly into a garden bed, which is absolutely possible, I would be adding, like a lasagna, a layer of soil, a layer of compost, a layer of sheep manure, a layer of soil, a layer of compost, a layer of sheep manure, and just keep going like that. But in between those lasagna layers, please add the next few things that we are going to talk about. The next one is vermiculite. Vermiculite is the alternative to peat moss that I was talking about. It is organic, it is completely biodegradable, it is a mineral called silicate. I have no idea what that means. It does break down very, very, very slowly and ultimately will add potassium and magnesium to your soil, but you cannot rely on that potassium and magnesium as a food source for your plants. Because it's going to break down so incredibly slowly. We're talking about feeding plants in a couple of years' time. Vermiculite helps retain moisture in your soil. It sort of works like the crystals in nappies. When water is added to these flakes, they absorb that water and puff up, and then the roots can use that water later. They're quite squidgy when you put your hand into the bag because they are a little bit moist when you buy them, but they're fantastic for your soil. And we're going to be adding 10 litres of vermiculite to the soil recipe that we have so far, which is about 2 bags, and they're very small bags. It's probably about 1 kilo in total, if that. It's a very, very light product. Now, there is a difference between vermiculite and water crystals. Water crystals are basically what are in nappies. However, they're essentially plastic and never break down. I did do a post about it on Facebook, as I used to be a big advocate of water crystals until I actually understood what they were. And so I moved away from them and started using vermiculite. I will tag that post in the description of this podcast in case you're interested in reading it. Please do not mistake vermiculite for perlite. Perlite is made out of volcanic rock and it is put into a garden bed to improve drainage. It is not there to retain moisture. So if anything, it is actually the complete opposite of vermiculite. Please don't mistake it. The next thing to add into your garden bed is coconut core. Coconut core is a great substance for retaining moisture. So it works like vermiculite, except it is made from the husks of coconuts. When you're choosing your coconut core at the nursery, there are 2 types. There's the type that comes in a bag like potting mix that is moist, and then there's the type that comes in a block which is dry and compacted. I always choose to buy the dry and compacted one. Firstly, I find it more cost effective, but secondly, most coconut core is imported from overseas, even though we have a lot of coconut trees in Australia. I choose to buy the dry because the carbon footprint of transporting that to Australia is less. The second thing to note about purchasing coconut core is make sure you have a look at the label of the one you've chosen, because you're looking for an indication that the trees are not felled in order to produce that coconut core, but instead the coconut core is being made from the byproduct of things like coconut cream and coconut milk and so forth. that means that the whole coconut product is being used and it's a more sustainable choice. I purchase the one from Bunnings that comes in a big block, and I choose to get the garden soil one instead of the garden mulch. And when you get these big blocks, you put them into a wheelbarrow, you add a lot of water, and then it just soaks it up and expands about tenfold. And then you'll be adding this in between your lasagna layers. The difference between the garden soil and the garden mulch is that the garden soil one is a lot like dirt, whereas the mulch one is not broken down as much, and therefore when you put it into your garden bed, it will take longer to break down. Now, I don't see that as being an issue. I just prefer to have one that's more soil-like than mulch-like. I have been talking about the importance of mulching in order to keep the living organisms alive. This also prevents water evaporation and helps the roots stay warm or cool depending on what your plant's needs are. It is an option for you to buy the coconut core mulch and use that as a mulch on your garden. And I'm certainly interested in trying that product in the future to mulch my other garden beds and not just my veggie patch. As I said, make sure you layer your coconut core in. Now, if you've opted to use a wicking bed, then coconut core is absolutely essential because that is going to improve the wicking of the water from the base of the wicking bed up to the roots of the plant. So please make sure you are generous. When I was filling my wicking bed, which is the Food Cube by Biofilter, it's about 1 meter by 1 meter, and I think the gardening depth is about 45 centimeters of soil or thereabouts. And I used 2 of the 90 liter coconut core blocks. That gives you an idea of how much coconut core you can actually use when filling your bed. As far as my recipe goes, we'll be adding 1 of the 90 litre coconut core blocks. If you do have a wicking bed, I recommend that you double that. Coconut core is also a fantastic product if you are gardening in pots, and I would be adding a little bit extra coconut core and a little bit extra vermiculite if you are container gardening, because those are the 2 key products to ensure that your garden bed retains moisture. And the next thing we're going to be adding to your soil, and now we're getting more into adding nutrients for those plants to feed off, is we're going to be adding blood and bone. This is an awesome slow-release fertilizer, and it contains nitrogen, calcium, and phosphorus. It does not contain any potassium. However, a lot of store-bought blood and bone varieties do actually come with added potassium. That's absolutely fine. Potassium is essential for flower and fruit development, which is key in your vegetable garden, so potassium will never go amiss. If it does include added potassium, also called potash, that's fine. You add about 4 handfuls of blood and bone per square meter. If you bought the potting mix, have a double check that your potting mix doesn't have blood and bone added to it, because if it does, you won't be needing to add it in at this step. However, for our friends who went and bought the landscaping veggie mix, definitely add your blood and bone in. You can buy just blood meal, which is the nitrogen, or just bone meal, which is the calcium and the phosphorus. However, I find it easier to buy 1 bag with everything mixed in together. I opt for the brand that includes the added potassium because it's just one less thing to be doing and I'm time poor and busy. And this brings us to the last component, which is rock minerals. And when I talk about rock minerals, people look at me blankly because a lot of people have not heard of them. These are a natural mineral that is mined from the volcanic bedrock. And it's basically just adding into the soil the trace elements that plants need for growth. You use it in combination with manure and organic fertilizers, and it actually improves the benefits of those manures and fertilizers. It helps build the plant cells' walls, and it helps those plants fight diseases
and also makes them more tolerant to drought and frost. In Australia, and especially where I am living, which is in Canberra, drought and frost are something that we are always facing. If we're not in drought, it's frosty. Rock minerals are something I'm always adding to my garden. It's about 3 handfuls per square meter, but have a look at the directions on the product that you actually purchase. Make sure you buy rock minerals and not rock dust. There can be a difference and the quality can differ as well. Now, why are you adding rock minerals? They add the benefits of volcanic soil to your garden. So we all know that the landscape around volcanoes is highly fertile. And that is because the soil contains all these trace elements that plants need for growth. By adding rock minerals to your soil, what you are doing is actually adding the benefit of that volcanic soil into your veggie patch manually. They are going to be fantastic for your plant growth and you will never look back. Those are the components of your soil for your new veggie patch. And as I said, we're going to be doing a lasagna of these. You will now have the ratios of vermiculite, blood and bone, and rock minerals that you'll want to be adding. And I would just be sprinkling this in handfuls between the layers of your lasagna. The vermiculite is something that you really do want to concentrate on the upper levels of your lasagna where your plant roots are going to be, I guess, most active, especially at the beginning. And this is also the area of your soil that dries out the fastest because being closest to the surface, there is some evaporation. As you're getting to the top of your lasagna, put your vermiculite in and mix that around a bit. I would also be making sure that the top 5 centimeters of your soil has a good handful of blood and bone and rock minerals for your new seeds and seedlings. Finish this off with a layer of mulch. Remember the poor little living organisms in there. We need to keep them alive and water it in with a seaweed concentrate. I do seaweed Saturdays on social media and I do fish Fridays as well. And this is because I really encourage people to water their vegetable gardens with a seaweed concentrate once a month and water your garden with a fish concentrate or a fish emulsion once a month and alternate these fortnightly. But make sure you follow me on Facebook or Instagram for those reminders, but you'll be getting the seaweed Saturday and 2 weeks later you'll be getting fish Friday reminders. Thank you so much for joining me today. The next episode I am going to be doing is focusing on how to grow bountiful broccoli. It is autumn. We are coming into winter. I can't believe it's only a week away. A lot of people are going to be growing broccoli and other brassicas, and I'm going to tell you how to grow fantastic broccoli. After that, I'm also going to do an episode on growing colossal cabbages and crunchy celery. So make sure you hit that subscribe button so that you get a notification when those episodes are uploaded. Happy gardening! Thank you so much for joining me today. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Growing Vegetables Down Under. On Facebook, we also have the Growing Vegetables Down Under community, which is a group where you can share your successes or possibly your failures and ask for help. I would love to see you in that group and I am able to provide any advice you'd like on that platform. If you have any comments or suggestions about other topics you'd like me to cover, just leave them in the comments below or send me a DM. Looking forward to seeing you next time. Happy gardening!